So good to see all of you here this morning. Can I invite you to rise to your feet so that we can read the scripture together? And for those of you in Puchong, please do the same. You can rise. And if you are online, on live stream, you can also stand if you want to. Okay, we're going to read from Romans chapter 10, verse 11 to 15. So on the count of three, we're going to read this together. Are you ready, church?
Yes,
yes, let's do that together. One, two, and three. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that has been preserved over the century for us, O God. And even today, God, as we look into your word, Father, I pray that, God, may your word come alive to us. That, God, it will not just be a logos to us, but be a rhema for us, O God. That, Lord, as you stir our hearts and cause us to respond, Father, not just to be hearer of your word, but also doer as well. So, Father, we commit all this to you, commit the whole celebration, the whole message into your hands as well, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Please be seated. Now, this weekend we are starting a new series called The Mission's Heart of God. And in this series, there are actually three sermons. And today I'm going to talk about God's heart for his glory. Everybody say his glory. Sorry. And then next week, we're going to have Pastor Ross Winchester, the person that you see on the video just now. And he'll be coming here to share with us about God's heart for the people there. And this referring to people in the foreign land. And then in 2 weeks' time, Pastor Key, we're going to be here on stage to talk to us about God's heart for the people here. And this is about the missions field in our doorsteps. And that is something very important and very crucial for us. And through this series, my prayer is that we're going to catch a glimpse of God's heart for missions as well as for the nations. You see, my own personal journey in missions started 20 years ago. And some of you younger ones may be thinking, wow, this guy's so old. 20 years ago, I was not even born yet. No. And during that time, 20 years ago, I was together with a team that went to this Orang Asli village in Cameron Highlands. And during the time, we were brought to this house that belongs to an Orang Asli man. And when we went there, we had this opportunity to tell this man about Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the conversation, he said, that, hey, I want to believe in the Jesus that you just shared with us about, shared with me about. And through that incident, I realized that there are a lot of people who actually want to hear about Jesus and the gospel and even to respond to it. But as Apostle Paul told us in verse 14 in the passage that we read just now, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You see, preaching the gospel is a very important and so a very urgent task for all of us as followers of Jesus Christ. But having said that, the purpose of missions and evangelism is not just for the purpose of saving souls. Because what Stephen Hartong says to us, Stephen Hartong, by the way, is the director of Waymakers, and he's also the person who started Joshua Project. Some of you know Joshua Project. It's a very good resource for us to find out about world evangelization and people groups. And this is what he said. People are indeed saved by the global declaration of God's salvation. But the ultimate value of their salvation is not to be seen in what they are saved from, but what they are saved for that really matters. People are saved to serve God in worship. In this respect, we can say that world evangelization is for God. So what Hartong is actually saying here is that mission is really about God. And it's for God. And it's for God's glory. And that's a big idea that I want to present this morning to all of us here. That missions is really about the pursuit of God's glory among nations. You see, mission is really about glorifying God. And that's the reason why Jesus came 2,000 years ago. And next month, we're going to enter into this season of Advent, and this is a good time to reflect and to be reminded or why Jesus came. You see, Jesus came to reveal God's glory to the whole world in order to receive glory from all the nations around the world. And Paul's missions and ministry, in fact, mirrored the same intent. And that's the reason why he wrote this letter to the Romans. Because the book of Romans is actually a fundraising letter, in case you don't know. It's a letter that's written for the purpose of soliciting support so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can reach the western part of the Roman Empire. You see, Paul's end goal is really to delight God's heart with worship from all nations. And that should also be our end goal as well. And there are three things that will mark the fulfillment of this intent. The first thing is that Christ's name needs to be exalted in all the earth. Everybody say that. Christ's name to be exalted in all the earth. You see, Christ's name is to be exalted in all the earth, but the problem is that sometimes we exalt our evangelistic efforts more than the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, I was inclined to do the same too. When I first read verse 13 of Romans 10, that says that for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And for the longest time, my attention has been on the part that says that everyone will be saved. And that has actually shaped my understanding of missions. And as a result, I will challenge everyone by highlighting the fact that there are thousands who are dying every day into a Christless eternity. And many of these are children who are dying from preventable diseases. And then I will urge everyone to rise up and to step out in faith and to reach out to many of the lost with the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. That, in fact, is the right response for us. Amen? Because God has filled our hearts with His love and His compassion. But what I want to say is that love and compassion alone may not be able to sustain our passion for missions in the long run. We need to know why we are doing what we are doing. In fact, we need to have the big picture of God in our mind and the centrality of Christ in all that we do. Because if you look at verse 13 again, it says that everyone who calls on the name will be saved. And it's not just any name, but it's the name of the Lord, it's the name of Jesus Christ. It's the name of the one who told us that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The name of Jesus is a beautiful name. It's also a powerful name. Amen? And the name of Jesus is the name that is above every other name. And that's what we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Let's read this together, can we? On the count of three, 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. You see, Jesus' name is to be exalted for God's glory because Jesus has liberated us to love Him, to serve Him, and to worship Him. And that's what we were doing just now. We were worshiping God in His place. Amen? And one of the most powerful worship experiences I ever had was in this youth meeting in this place called Badibas in Nepal. Badibas is a small town in Nepal. And during that youth meeting, we did not have sophisticated sound system like here. We also didn't have any fancy equipment. We also did not have Joseph Lim leading us in worship or Pastor Gilbert. All we had was just simple, pure worship. And in that place, the presence of God was so strong because we were all exalting the name of Jesus. And in my spirit, I could literally feel that I was taken up to heaven, worshiping with the multitudes in heaven together. That was so amazing. That was how amazing it was. And while I was doing that, Suddenly, I heard a very loud sound coming out from outside the building. Apparently, there was a storm that came and hit the town that day. It was almost like a mini cyclone. And it was hitting the building of the church. And the whole church was literally shaking. The entire church was shaking. The windows were flapping, the doors were flapping, and the zinc roof that was above the church building was almost going to fly off. And except for two or three persons who were attending to the doors and the windows, the rest of the people were just there, stuck where they were, in the posture of worship, and just continuing to worship God and exalting the name of Jesus. And so, since everybody did that, I also did the same. Yeah. So I also worship with them together again one more time and just be with that attitude of worship. And while I was doing that, I heard another sound. And this time, it was from this young man. I saw, when I opened my eyes, I saw this young man, very big sized man. He was lying in front of me. Apparently, he fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the sound was caused by his head and his body hitting the cement floor. And then I looked in front of me on the stage. One of the worship team members, one of the girls, she was also on the floor and under the power of the Holy Spirit, and her hand was still lifted up to praise God. Now imagine that happening here, church, while we are worshiping Joseph Lim suddenly. Or some of you here as well, you know, while worshiping God, you also fell. But of course, here it's easy because we've got a carpeted floor. You see, that was a very powerful experience to me because we were there worshiping God and exalting the name of Jesus. And having experienced that, I now could understand David's heart when he said to us that all the nations, in Psalm 86, verse 9, all the nations that you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. You see, the name of Jesus must be exalted and will be exalted. And nations will come to worship him and glorify him. And before that can happen, Christ's good news needs to be preached to all the nations. Everybody say that. Christ's good news needs to be preached to nations. Very soft like you are. Can speak a bit louder or not? Christ's good news must be preached to all the nations. Okay, some a bit slower. Okay, the good news of Jesus Christ is the best news that we ever heard. Amen? If you agree with me, raise your hand. You see, almost all of you here in this auditorium agree that the best news ever heard is the good news of Jesus Christ. But the thing is that this good news of Jesus Christ is not meant only for us. It's also meant for the nations. It's also meant for people outside the church, outside the four walls of the church. And Paul understood this with his heart and with his mind. And that was why he could say in Romans chapter 15, verse 20, that his ambition is to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. Why? Because the good news is a message of hope for all. And Paul describes it this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the gospel, which is the good news, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." You see, the gospel has the power to save, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And then he also went on to say in Romans 10, 12, that "for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him." You see, the Jew and Gentile here represents all the nations in this world. And if you attended my MCP1 training, you will know that I'm not talking about political nations here. Because the word Gentile here, actually, in Greek, is the word Hellen, and it refers to all the Greek-speaking non-Jews, such as Aelians, Dorians — you say wrongly, it becomes Durian — Asian, Ionians, and by extension, all the Fuchao, the Cantonese, the Hainanese, as the Pastor Chris is, the Tamils, the Malayalis, the Punjabis, the Ibans, and even the Malays in our land. Every people group, every ethnic group, that is what Gentile actually means. And God is extremely interested in every single one of this group. because you want to redeem people from every of this group so that they'll become God's worshippers. And so everything that Jesus did and said during the time that when he was on planet Earth was for this purpose. And before he went back to heaven, he also gave us the instruction to also do the same, which is to preach the good news of Jesus and to continue on with the work that he has started. And not only to preach the good news, but to preach the good news to all nations, because that's what he said in Matthew 24:14. Let's read this together, yeah? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world, whole world, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, the end will come means that Jesus will come again one day, and we look forward to that one day. Amen? Don't we look forward to Jesus coming again? You do, right? And if you are students, you got exams coming up this coming week, you probably want Jesus to come back tonight. You see, the heart and passion of God is to see every people group represented in heaven one day. And many churches and mission organizations have recognized that and have adopted people groups as part of the mission strategy. And in DMC, we've also done the same. Since the time that when Dr. Ling was the mission pastor, we have been adopting people groups as part of our mission strategy. And one of the people groups that we adopted is the Tamang tribe in Nepal. And I want to share with you a story about this Tamang girl. Her name is Sunny Maya. Sunny Maya lived in a small little village called Tawari. Tawari is near to another bigger village called Bukdil. And I remember that time that when my team went to Nepal, we went very early to KIA. Before 6 a.m., we boarded the plane and we flew to Kathmandu. And then after that, we have to negotiate some very difficult terrains and very bumpy and winding route in order to get to Bukdil. And by the time we arrived in Bukdil, it was almost nightfall. It was about 6 p.m. And Nepal is 2 or 3 hours behind us. So it took us almost a whole day to reach Bukdil. And then the next day, we trekked to this village called Tawari, which is about 1 hour away as we were trekking on foot. For us, it was 1 hour, but for Nepalese, maybe lesser. I don't know. So when we reached Tawari, there were people there in the village, and so we decided to do our open-air evangelism. So we did a skit, we shared our gospel. And at the end of the message that we presented, we make a challenge, and many people came forward to accept Jesus, and we prayed for them. And then after that, there were also other villagers who came and came to us for prayer for all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of issues that in life they were facing, even addictions and so forth. And then there was this mother who came carrying a girl in her hand, in her arms. And she laid her down on the ground for us to pray. Now that girl is Sunny Maya. And so we asked the mother, "What's wrong with your daughter?" And the lady said that, "Oh, she cannot talk, she cannot walk. Please pray for her." And so my team, we came around her and we prayed for her in the name of Jesus to break the spirit of infirmity upon her, to heal her and to restore her. And God did a miracle in her life that day. After we prayed, she was able to stand up, she was able to walk. So it was an amazing miracle that we witnessed that day when we saw Sunny Maya being healed by God. And we're so happy, so we decided to bring her back to her home, which was a few hundred meters away, so they can continue to pray for her. And so when we reached the house, we could sense there was a spirit of oppression in the house. And so we break that in the name of Jesus. And then I sat down with the mother. And I asked her, "Amma," and Amma is the way that we address an older lady in Nepal. "Amma, so what happened to Sunny Maya?" And then Amma began to explain. "Sunny Maya has been in this condition since she was very young, almost when she was 1 year old. And today, Sunny Maya is 20 years old. And when I heard that, my heart sank. Because earlier on, I saw the mother was carrying Sunny Maya to us in her arms for a 20-year-old girl to be carried by the mother. And so I told Amma, "You know what? Only Jesus can heal your daughter. Only Jesus can do a miracle in her life. And I say, you must believe in Jesus. And so I proceeded to tell her the gospel, explain to her about the gospel, and then led her in the sinner's prayer for her to accept Jesus. Because she said, yes, I want to believe in this Jesus. And then after that, we went on and pray. I went on and prayed for Sunny Maya. And I prayed in the name of Jesus. But every time when I prayed and mentioned the name of Jesus, she would turn her face away from me. She would not dare to look at me in my eye. She would like just avoiding me any eye contact the moment that I mentioned Jesus. But we continued to pray to break the power of darkness and curse over her and continue to worship in the house so that we could saturate the place with God's presence. And as we're doing that, God did a second miracle in Sunny Maya's life that day, because Sunny Maya was able to open her mouth and begin to speak. And not only was she able to speak, she said, Yesu Meru Prabhuho, which means Jesus is my Lord in Nepali. So we were so amazed because God did two miracles in Sunny Maya's life that day. And so I decided, okay, telling the mother and the daughter, tomorrow you must come to church in Bukdil. And the next day, I was preaching there in the church in Bukdil. And I was preaching, I was looking out for Sunny Maya and the mother to come to church. And halfway through the service, towards the end, I saw Sunny Maya and the mother walking in from the back of the church. And Sunny Maya was walking ahead of the mother, and she was walking very fast towards me. And she was having this broad smile on her face. She put her hands together, and she said to me, Lasso, which means hello in the Tamang language. And today, that memory has been etched in my mind. And each time I remember Sunny Maya, I give thanks to God for what He has done in her life that has changed her life totally. Now, friends, imagine that if my team has not gone to Bukdil and Tawari, or if we have given up halfway, Sunny Maya and her mother would have missed the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ preached to them. And that brings me to my third point. It's crucial that we obey Christ's mandate because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Because it says that Christ's mandate must be obeyed by His followers. Let's say that together, this time with conviction. Let's get 1, 2, 3. Christ's mandate obeyed by His followers. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, which means all of us, you and me, we have been given this mandate. And this mandate comes in the form of the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is not something that we are unfamiliar with because it's part of the tagline that we have. Love God, serve people, make disciples towards Christ's likeness. But our call is really to obey the Great Commission. And obeying the Great Commission actually means following in the footsteps of Jesus. Because Jesus has said to us that, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You see, Jesus has been sent by God as a missionary to us. And He is now sending us out as missionaries for His name's sake. In other words, God wants to involve us. And He's inviting all of us to participate in this global purpose of His, of world evangelization. And when we say yes to Jesus, He has promised us that He will not leave us, He will not forsake us, He will be with us till the ends of the age, He will be with us like the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire at night. And that was exactly what God said to one time when I was in Nepal. Now, I share a lot about Nepal because I've been to Nepal quite a number of times. But to set the context, this incident happened about 15 years ago. And at that time, there was a civil war happening in Nepal. There was a conflict between the government army and the Maoist rebels. So it was during that time that my team went to Nepal and we planted ourselves in this place called Chautara, which is in the district of Nawalparasi. And our plan was to go to a village that's behind the hill nearby. And so we came together, we prayed, we sought the Lord, and the Lord told me and my team that, oh, my presence is going to go before you and with you. There's going to be like a pillar of cloud and pillar of fire for you as the team go and all that. And so we felt very assured. And so we loaded our stuff onto the jeep, the vehicle, in the morning and we started our journey. And it was a very difficult journey, very challenging, because it happened to be a monsoon season. So as a result of that, our vehicle got stuck in the mud many times. So we had to get down from the vehicle and to push it forward and all that. And there was one time the Jeep even broke down and we had to wait for it to be repaired. And while all that was happening, we looked across to another hill and we saw that thing that looked like a cross. Whether it was a real cross or not, we do not know. But to us, it was God reminding us and assuring us that His presence was still with us, just as He has promised us. And so we continue on our journey, and we reached a place and we saw some houses and we saw some people. It was almost evening time. And one of the young men came out and greeted us, and he asked us, "So who are you guys?" Then we say, "Oh, we are visitors to your country. And we want to go to the village that's behind this hill." Then he introduced himself. He said, "I am one of the Maoist rebel. And we have captured this place a week ago, and you have come into my territory, our territory. And you're not allowed to go forward, you're not allowed to go back. You must stay with us." In other words, they detained us. And so we were made to march into a house that was a double-story wooden house. So we were marching in single file. So as we were marching towards the house, I heard God's voice. God spoke to me very clearly that time. And God said to me, "You know, these are the Maoists. But I love them as much as I love you. And I know how much God loves me." And when God said that to me, I knew that God's heart was also for them. And God's presence was still with us. And so we went to the house and, you know, they asked us again, you know, they questioned us, asked us a lot of questions. And they asked us, "So why are you here?" So we say, "We are Malaysians, you know, we come to visit your country." "How do we know that you're not spies sent by the government to spy on us? Prove to us that you're Malaysians. Sing us your national anthem. How many states are there in Malaysia?" So they asked us all kinds of questions about Malaysia. And so after a long time of asking us and questioning, and we say, "Oh, okay, we are quite tired. It's already evening at night." So we say, "Can you let us rest so that you can continue on tomorrow morning?" And he said, "Okay, you can sleep here in this place, in this room, there's upper room." So we slept in the middle of the room, and they slept around us. And then the next day, the next morning, we woke up, and I asked for permission again. "Can you allow us to sing some songs in this place?" Now, in case you're wondering why sing songs, because it was a mission trip. So we had to worship God and do our team devotion in the morning. So we did that. We sang some songs and all that. So one of the Maoist rebels, came up to us because he heard us singing. He began to ask us, "What are all these songs that you're singing?" Then we explained, these are Christian songs that we sing to God. And then he pointed to one of the words in the lyrics. He asked me, "What does this word, sacrifice, what does that mean?" And so I used that to explain to him how Jesus came to sacrifice himself for us so that, you know, we could have forgiveness and life and all that, and sharing the gospel with him. And after I shared with him, I said, "So would you like to believe in Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I want to believe in this Jesus that you just shared." And so I led him in a sinner's prayer and prayed for him. And then after I prayed for him, he opened his eyes and said, "Oh, do you have a Nepali Bible that you can give to me so they can read more about this Jesus?" And so we gave it to him. Yeah, praise God for that. And after that, say, "Oh, I want to pray for you as well. How can I pray for you?" He said, "Pray for us to win the war." I say, "No, sorry, I cannot pray for you to win the war, but I can pray for peace for your country." And he said, "Yes, that's good. You know, pray for us to have peace in our country." So I pray for him, and then I asked him, so can you let us leave this place? We want to go back." They say, "No, our headquarters has not given us permission to let you go." And then we went on to the afternoon, and then another of his friend, came up to us and said, "Oh, headquarters have already told us that you all can go. You can be released." And thank goodness they did. Otherwise, I would not be standing here to tell you the story. Right? Yeah. You see, Sakti came to know Christ because we partnered God in his mission. And like Sunny Maya, he would have missed the opportunity. if we had not obeyed Christ's mandate. And there are actually many Sannimayas, there are actually many Saktis, and there are also many people, like the Orang Asli man that I shared at the beginning of my message. And they're waiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and to even call upon the name of Jesus. But like what Apostle Paul told us in verse 14 and 15, that how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You see, friends, when God touched our hearts, there are many of us who will respond with a willing mind. But very few would actually respond with obedient feet. And so that's why I really appreciate all the missionaries that we have sent out. Regardless of the size of the impact that they're making in the field, every single one of them have given their life to serve God obediently and sacrificially. Because they have to leave their family here, they have to leave the comfort of the church environment here, they have to leave their friends, they have to leave all that. They have to leave nasi lemak and char kway teow as well, in order to go to another foreign land to serve God. But Paul reminded us in verse 15 that says, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? That means that we not only need to partner God in His mission, we also need to partner with one another in fulfilling God's mission. And all of us are called to be Great Commission Christians. And that's the general call of God upon all of us. Every single one of us have that call. But each of us may have a specific role to play in God's plan, according to the giftings, according to the talents, according to the experience that God has allowed us to go through. I do not know what God is saying to you this morning. Whether you're here in the auditorium or over there in Puchong, or even those of you watching a live stream, perhaps God is saying something to you and calling you maybe to become a missionary, to be a church planter maybe, to be a Bible translator, or even to be a mission mobilizer like what I'm doing. Now you are thinking, Pastor, these things are too big for me, you know. These roles are too big, you know. It's not something that I can handle. These are not the kind of lions that I want to chase. Then let me suggest to you some smaller lions that you may want to consider chasing. Firstly, we can contribute. Contribute towards missions. Do a 3G contribution. I know in recent days we talk a lot about 5G technology, but my technology is not so high-tech yet. 3G contribution. Give, get, and go. Give towards missions. Our anniversary give weekend is coming up soon in 2 months' time. We can give towards missions that way. But some of you may also want to give specifically to some needs and some projects. But not only give, because just by giving alone, that is a very passive way of participating in God's missions. We need to participate actively by not only giving, but also to get updates and information about our recipients and what they are doing, so that we can take that and go to God in prayer about those needs that the people are facing. And that is what I call active participation in God's mission through our giving. The second thing we can do is to pray. Pray for our missionaries. And not only pray for them, but let them know that we are praying for them. You know, our missionaries, they are very lonely in some of these places they are in, and they need a lot of encouragement, they need a lot of support. And by telling them that we are praying for them is a way to tell them that we have not forgotten them and we continue to support them. And some of you may want to consider adopting a missionary as the cell group project. We have this adopting a missionary program in place. The third thing, perhaps you want to join a short-term missions. Next year, Impact 2020 is a great time to do that. And we are planning to send 30 over cell groups out to different locations. And that's a great opportunity for us to be a blessing to another community. You know, there's so much you can do during your short-term missions. You can teach, you can preach. In case you think that, oh, I'm not like a Pastor Sam, no, I cannot teach, I cannot preach, or any of the pastors here. Well, you can share your testimony. Sharing our testimony is the way of communicating to somebody about what God has done for us in our life and to make an impact in that person's life. And you think that, oh, I can't, I'm not the speaking type. Doesn't matter. Just go. Just go and be there. You know, there's something called the ministry of presence. Because when you go to a place and just being there alone brings a lot of encouragement to the people in some of these communities where they need somebody to be there with them. You know, there's so much we can do during a trip. I remember one sister went to Sarawak. She spent most of her time in the kitchen with the ibu-ibu, with the ladies in the village, just cooking together with them and just sharing stories with one another and doing life with one another. I remember also a brother who came with me to Nepal. That was some years ago. And he told me that, bro, don't worry. You do all the preaching, you do all the teaching. I will carry all the heavy stuff for you. Because God spoke to me specifically that I am going to be your donkey for this trip. And that was what he did. The entire trip was carrying all this heavy stuff. And we did not know how heavy it was it until at the end of the trip, we tried to carry on the back and we couldn't lift it up. And that was what he did. There was a brother who was good in doing videography and photography. It was good. He did a lot of photographs for us and it was good for our mission mobilization work. And there was a sister who was good in journaling. Just collecting data, collecting statistics. These are very fundamental, key resources that we need to know how we can partner our mission partner in some of these places. The fourth thing that you can do is serve. Serve the people around you. There are a lot of migrants, there are a lot of refugees, there are a lot of international students, there are a lot of our friends who come from East Malaysia, Sabah, Sarawak, who are here. There are also a lot of homeless, there are also a lot of urban poor in our midst. Serve them. You see, many of them are in church today because they have seen the glory of God through the ministry of people with beautiful and obedient feet. And today they are here giving glory to God through their own service and through their own worship. Missions, friend, is all about the pursuit of God's glory among the nations. Missions is for God. And it is for God's glory. Jesus has revealed that glory to the world so that nations will come to Him to love Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, and to glorify Him. And Psalm 72 tells us that praise be to His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. And this is the prayer of the psalmist. And this prayer will come to pass one day because God has shown that vision to John in Revelation 7:9 that says that after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And that will be the glorious picture that we're going to see one day in heaven. And we're going to be a participant of that. And that will become a reality one day when Christ's mandate is obeyed by all His followers. That means you and me. When His good news is preached to all the nations. And when the name of Jesus Christ is exalted in all the whole world. And that's what we long to see. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Friends, I do not know what God is saying to you and what even the Holy Spirit is revealing to you even today in this celebration this morning. But because God is here, His manifested presence is with us. But God is also reminding us that He is with the people outside the four walls of our church. Whether they're in a foreign land or they're even here in our midst. And some of these are the migrants, some of these are the homeless, and some of these are the urban poor. And some of these could even be our colleagues in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, our friends. And God is with them as well. And He's saying to us, "My children, you know what? I love these people as much as I love you. As much as you are precious to me, they too are precious to me. And I long to see them coming to the knowledge of my saving grace." And Jesus is inviting us to be where He is, partnering Him for this work, for His kingdom's sake and for His name's sake. And if that is also your response, church, I just want to invite you to stand to your feet so that I can pray for you and seal your commitment to be part of what God wants to do and evolving us. So on the count of three, whether you are here in the auditorium or over there in Puchong, or even for those of you watching our live stream, on the count of three, I want to invite you to stand to your feet so that I can pray for you. One, two, and three. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Heavenly Father, you see, oh God, all these brothers and sisters of mine, oh God, who are upstanding. And they're saying to you, "Yes, God. Yes, God, use me, oh God, to be your instruments and to be your vessel of love and grace to those around me, around us." And so, Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, may you honor, oh God, this commitment of every single one of these servants of yours. May you use them, oh God, even right now, may you fill them, Father, afresh and new, God, with a fresh, ancient anointing of your Spirit, with your love and your compassion, oh God, that will just continue to spur us on, Father, to do your work. Wherever, God, that, Lord, you place us in, and wherever, God, that, Lord, you're going to bring us to, oh God. For it's a privilege, oh God, to serve you. And it's a privilege, oh God, to serve, oh God, the community that you're sending us to. And so, Father, we commit all this, oh God, to you. May we praise you and bless you, God, in Jesus' name. Can I invite all of you to stand? We're going to sing the closing song together. And those of you, and Pastor Mohel in Puchong, you can actually take over from here. But even before we start singing, I just want to make two calls this morning. Because I just sent my spirit, that there are two groups of people that I want to ask you to respond. Some of you are saying that, "Yes, Pastor, what you think about this Jesus is so amazing. And I'm not a Christian yet. I just feel that I need to have this Jesus in my life today." And if that's you, I want to invite you to come to the front so that we can pray for you. So if you are not a Christian and you want to say yes today, "I want to believe in Jesus. I want to invite Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior," you can come to the front, to this side of the auditorium. You know, all of us have made the first step of faith by trusting in Jesus. And we are here because of what Jesus has done for us in our lives. And God is going to do something amazing in your life as well. So you can come forward. I'm going to pray for you. And also sense that there's a certain second group of people whom you may feel that, "Hey, God, I think I want to say yes to you. to be used in a more extended way. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a missionary. It doesn't mean that you have to be called to somewhere, to a full-time vocation. But you just want to say that, God, I want to do something, but I do not know where. But I want to know. I want to receive from you, oh God. And there may be constraints, there may be concerns that you may have. It does not matter. You can just come forward to this side so that the pastors and the leaders can also pray for you and release a word to you to give clarity to what God wants to do in your life. So when they sing the last song together, and as we sing, so I just invite the two groups to come forward. Those who want to accept Jesus, you're not Christian yet, but today you want to say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus, you come to this side. And those of you who wants to say, yes, I want to be used by you, God, come to this side so that one of the pastors or leaders can pray for you. Can I invite the pastors to come?
Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, for you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see you are God, you are God. Jesus, I believe in you, and I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, for you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see you are God, you are God.
Church, I just sense that there's another group of people here. You are looking for some miracles, a breakthrough in your life today. And our God is a God who is an awesome God. He can help you in your situation even today. Just as what He has done for Sunny Maya, where she received two miracles in her life that day. And some of you may be facing some challenges in your life, whether it's a physical challenge with regard to a medical condition that you may be having, or even some challenges that you're facing in your workplace, or some challenges that you're facing in your family with relationships. God is inviting you today to come so that you can receive a breakthrough, you can receive a miracle in your life today. So if that's you, I just want to invite you to also come forward to be prayed for as well. Whatever it may be, God is here and He wants to intervene in your life and do something in your life today. Please come.
Jesus, I believe in you, and I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, for you, the Lord and the Son of God, and all the world will see you are God, you are God. Story, 'cause I know that you've called me, I know that you've called me. I lost myself for good within your promise, and I won't hide it, I won't hide it. Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, for you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see you are God, you are God.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you, God, that, Lord, you have called us. You have called us, firstly, to yourselves, so that we could be called your children. But, God, you have also called us to be your servants. And that is a privileged call of service that you're given to us. Because we are serving the God of the universe, the God who's the maker of heaven and earth, the God whom we, O God, are to worship and to glorify with our lives. And so, Lord, we want to ask, O God, that, Lord, even as today, for the things, O God, that are said and spoken to every one of us, O God, and the things that you have deposited in our hearts, may you cause, O God, in us a stirring, O God, Lord, in our hearts, the desire to want, O God, to be in your presence and to bring others, O God, in your presence as well. And so, Lord, I give you praise and just want to give you all glory and all honor for this joy of worship and praises. We give you thanks. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his good and perfect peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.